Welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cast Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 79 for February 18th, 2007. Coming up in a few minutes.
Scotch whiskey tends to grow at about 1 or 2% if you're lucky. We're seeing Scotch up to sales of about 11% for us last year. But what's more important about this is that it seems to be sustained growth. It's happening over a period of some time, and we can see that demand for the future.
That's Diageo's Peter Smith on the company's plan to invest nearly $200 million in expanding Scotch whiskey production, including an all-new malt distillery in Rose Isle. That's just part of a worldwide building boom in the whiskey business, and I'll have the details in just a few minutes. But first, let's look at the other news of the week. This is a three-day holiday weekend in the United States to mark President's Day. If you're outside the U.S., here's an explanation. It basically takes the February birthdays of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, splits the difference, and keeps us from taking 2 days off during the month. As I've reported here before, George Washington's estate at Mount Vernon in Virginia is about to open the restored distillery on March 31st. But until now, it wasn't clear whether the distillery would actually be able to sell any of the whiskey produced at Mount Vernon. Virginia is one of those states where all liquor sales take place in state stores, but the state legislature has passed a bill to allow Mount Vernon to receive a special license to sell spirits produced at the estate on site. That way, any proceeds from sales of George Washington's whiskey will go toward maintaining the estate. There's good news for the 400 workers at Pernod Ricard's Greendale Distillery in Lawrenceville, Indiana. Last year, Pernod Ricard announced that the distillery would be closed this year because it doesn't fit into the company's business plan. Pernod Ricard inherited the distillery as part of the Allied Domecq purchase, and before that, it was part of the Seagram's empire. Now, JustDrinks.com reports CL Financial, the Bahamas-based parent of Bern Stewart Distillers, has a tentative agreement to buy the distillery. The final details are still being worked out, but the new owners want to add an American whiskey to their worldwide portfolio. Speaking of worldwide deals, it looks like we might finally have some progress on the sale of White & Mackay. Indian spirits magnate Vijay Mallya has been in talks with White & Mackay owner Vivian Immerman for months, and The Scotsman reports that they've finally agreed on a price in the neighborhood of £550 million, or about $1.1 billion. Of course, the devil is in the details, and many of those details are still being worked out. Coming up on the calendar of events, tickets are on sale now for the three main spring whiskey festivals in the U.S. That's Whiskey Live New York on April 4th, Whiskey Fest in Chicago on April 13th, and the Whiskies of the World Expo in San Francisco the next day, April 14th. Before then, though, there's a full schedule, including Dramfest 07 in Christchurch, New Zealand, and the Whiskey Festival North Netherlands in Groningen this coming weekend. Whiskey Live London is March 2nd and 3rd. The Scotch Malt Whiskey Society's U.S. chapter starts the spring series of single malt tastings with a stop in Atlanta on March 8th. The Inter-Whiskey Festival in Munich is March 9th through the 11th, and Whiskey Live Belgium is the 16th through the 18th. It's a busy spring for whiskey lovers, and you'll find a complete calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website. It's www.whiskeycast.com. It's become very clear that the market for whiskey is expanding each year as more developing countries develop a taste for whiskey and trade barriers come down. This past week, the Louisville Courier-Journal reported that Beam Global Spirits and Wine is spending about $120 million to upgrade its bourbon distilleries in Kentucky. About $70 million will be spent at the Booker No Distillery, which makes Jim Beam bourbon, and millions more down the road at Maker's Mark. You might expect most of that to go for more rack houses, stills, and bottling equipment, but Maker's Mark master distiller Dave Pickerel says it's even more basic than that.
Right now we're selling every drop we can make, and when you come to the distillery right now, you'll see some construction going on. We're in the process right now of trying to raise the dam on our limestone spring-fed lake so that we can hold back more water. Because right now, we won't make a drop of bourbon that doesn't come from that spring-fed lake. And we're losing a lot of water that's just running over the spillway. So we're going to raise that dam about 12 feet, and that'll let us hold back another 28 million gallons, and that ought to stand us for another few years.
Diageo, of course, is the world's largest spirits company, and this past week announced plans to spend nearly $200 million on a long-term expansion of whiskey production capacity in Scotland. Diageo's Peter Smith says worldwide demand justifies the investment.
We're basically seeing sustained growth in our Scotch whisky business worldwide, and we believe we need now to be investing in our operations in Scotland to meet the long-term demand for our brands in the future, particularly in growing markets like Brazil, Russia, India, China, and Mexico. If the World Trade Organization India opens up in the future, that's certainly going to be a very interesting market. And at the same time, markets like North America and Europe are also in growth for us as well.
And before we go to the details on the actual expansion, how much is that double digit, or how much is that actual expansion in the Scotch business? What are you seeing?
Well, in terms of we're seeing growth. Ordinarily, Scotch whisky tends to grow at about 1 or 2% if you're lucky. We're seeing Scotch up to sales of about 11% for us last year. But what's more important about this is that it seems to be sustained growth. It's happening over a period of some time, and we can see that demand for the future. There have been blips before, and it's a question of actually being canny about our investment and ensuring that we have the best footprint for the future.
And what exactly will the expansion consist of?
We're going to be expanding our grain distillery at Cameron Bridge. That makes grain whiskey that goes into a range of brands such as Johnny Walker and J&B Scotch whiskey, for example. So there's a big expansion planned there. Part of the plant is 40, 50 years old, and it was needing to be refurbished in any case, and we've taken the decision now actually to significantly increase our output from that grain distillery. Equally, we're investing in a new bottling line, new packaging line at our Shield Hall packaging near Glasgow. So that would be one of the fastest spirit bottling lines, and we'll be taking we're spending about £12 million at that investment at Shield Hall. So Cameron Bridges will be about £4 million pounds sterling, and as you pointed out, the remainder will be at this quite exciting development of a new malt whiskey distillery in the north near Elgin.
And the details on that, please.
The preferred site we're looking at the moment, in discussions with the local authorities, is at Rose Isle, which is where we have an existing maltings operation, and we hope to establish the malt whiskey distillery there. We've got plenty of land that we have there. We have good supplies of quality water, and it's right next door to the maltings, so we hope that would be an ideal site for us.
Now, I have to ask, at least a number of whiskey nuts would ask this question. Diageo has a number of malt whiskey distilleries that have been mothballed over the years. Why not reopen one or two of those and bring back some places like, for instance, Brora?
It's always very, very sad when distilleries sadly shut the doors for the last time. But regrettably, there's always a reason why they've been closed. It may be that the investment required, it may be a compact site, it may be that there's no route for effluent, etc. So there's been very good reasons why those distilleries have closed in the past or been mothballed in the past. It is the irony, of course, that such as Brora and Port Ellen, of course, where there has been the scarcity of the stock as time has gone by, has led to great interest in those. But to be quite frank, really, with this particular distillery, the investment we're needing to make, we're really needing a distillery that will be for the 21st century, but building on machines that we've had in the past. So it's basically starting with a clean sheet, designing the distillery from scratch rather than trying to retrofit, if you see what I mean. And we'll certainly be using all the latest technology and green technology as well, because we're hoping it to be a very sustainable operation.
Peter mentioned a key word, green. It's not just a matter of money, but the environment as well. We'd all like to see some of those silent stills like Brora brought back to life, but Diageo's Ken Robertson says it's just not feasible.
Some of them now would you know, when they were first built or running, there it was quite possible, as in the case of, say, Bladnock and Rosebank, that you were able to discharge effluent into a local waterway. In the, say, the last 20 years or so, a lot of legislation has come in now from Europe, because we have, you know, European legislation now accounts for a large part of the legislation we have now in the UK, and that has tightened up considerably the situation regarding effluent disposal. So on some of those sites, you could reopen them, but you would have to put in bioplants or some other treatment plants that certainly wouldn't have been there originally. So you're going to add a bit of complexity to bringing the distillery back on stream again. Plus, if you think about it, some of those buildings go back to the middle of the 19th century or maybe a bit even earlier in some cases. So you're going to have to spend quite a bit of money, you know, replumbing them, rewiring, all the rest of it. I mean, when we opened reopened two distilleries in the early 90s, Royal Brackla and Tian Enoch, the actual cost, I think, then was way in excess of what everybody had expected. And as somebody observed at the time, we could have built a couple of new distilleries with the money we spent reopening those. And I think it's, I mean, I think the Agio does take these things seriously in terms of the heritage and the history of the sites. And I think that, you know, we have a core, as you know, of 27 malt distilleries now that by and large represent what would have been, I think, the best distilleries that we inherited from the old distillers company. Cost-wise, to bring back something like Grower Now would be extremely prohibitive, I would think, even if you could do it environmentally. And the other thing is, in some of those distilleries, and Rosebank is a classic example, the distillery was probably out on its own at one time on the edge of town, but as towns have developed, we've seen the spread of housing or light industry around some of these distilleries, and people, you know, what, you know, are less prepared these days to put up with the kind of noise and smells and things like that that you would get from a distillery. So some of them have just been, if you like, edged out in a sense by the kind of way that the towns or the communities around them have been developed as well.
The new distillery at Rose Isle should be completed by 2009, with the first whiskey available sometime after 2012. By the way, Robertson says a name for the distillery has not been chosen yet. Perhaps Diageo would consider letting WhiskeyCast listeners suggest a name. Not likely, but you never know. That's all for this edition of WhiskeyCast. My email address for questions and suggestions is comments@WhiskeyCast.com. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2007, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.